I would like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the New Testament book of Philippians. And we'll begin in the first chapter of Philippians. I want to read several verses to you. I hope to give a foundation for what I'm going to say. May God use it for our benefit and blessing, and to make us more like the Lord Jesus. If you have your Bible open to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And then verse 12, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. And then in chapter 2, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I'm speaking on the unconscious and the conscious preparation for the work of the Lord. God is at work in your life whether you recognize it or not. There's no doubt about that. And with the Lord's help, I plan to speak on the unconscious preparation that God works in our lives. Those are the things we have no control over. We don't choose them for ourselves. We may imagine sometimes we're choosing for ourselves, but they're chosen of God for us. And then there are deliberate things that we do. You may be preparing for a career in something. You may think you've chosen a life's mate. But all the while, there are unconscious preparations going on along with those conscious preparations. And God gives the understanding where we see the harmony between both these things. And as we do, we see God's good hand in our lives. I want you to get that. He's working. Let me read the verses again with these thoughts in mind. The Bible says in chapter 1, as Paul is writing from prison, in this joyous epistle, being confident of this very thing, chapter 1, verse 6, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. What God has started in your life, he's going to finish. And then when we get to the 12th verse of the first chapter, the Bible says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. God is doing all these things for the furtherance of the gospel. We can talk about those things and what some of those things happen to be, but he's including all things. He's including his time in prison. He's including all the suffering that he's been through. Because God is one aim, one great aim, and that's to get the gospel to all people. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He used the word witness, that we are witnesses. Ye are witnesses unto me. And remember that the word witness can be a noun or a verb. And it is always first to be the noun. I am a witness, therefore I witness. Now, what does God do in my life to bring me to the point where I am the witness God wants me to be? Well, there are many things I discover in life that are unconscious things God did for me. I didn't choose my parents. If I tell my story, about my parents and their upbringing. My father was an unusual man. I loved him. He was 40 years old when I was born. My mother was 20 years old. They'd been married 2 years. And my father had been in prison. And he lost his parents when he was a 10-year-old boy. He lost his eye, one of them, when he was 11 years old. The circumstances involving the loss of his parents meant that he went to another home of an aunt and uncle to take care of him. The loss of his eye changed the direction of his life. Finally, he was put in a boy's home. When he was 16 years old, he got out of the boy's home. And later in life, through some mischievous deed, he got himself in serious trouble while in West Virginia, born in Alabama, but while in West Virginia. And he became a prisoner in the Moundsville State Penitentiary in West Virginia. He got out of that prison when he was 27 years old, roamed the country, and happened to meet my mother, who had to leave home as an 11-year-old and again as a 14-year-old child, working as a waitress in a restaurant where he was eating. And they got together, decided to be married, got married. 2 years later after they were married, I was the first of four children born to that marriage. Now, I can look at my life as the product of some tragedy, or I can see God's hand in it. Many times when people come to know the Lord as their personal Savior a little later in life, they have a tendency to say, well, so much of my life was wasted. You need to look again. God is working in those years that you thought were wasted years because they were preparation. If God is the God of the future, He's the God of the present. He's the God of the past. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I think it's a wonderful thing when a believer discovers God's hand in his life and he sees some things the Lord does. Again, the verse in chapter 2 of Philippians, one of my favorite verses. For it is God which worketh in you. He's already in you. When you come to know Him as your Savior. Was there a time when you asked God to forgive your sin and by faith trusted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior? Do you know Him truly as your Savior? Then you may think that He's just dormant. He's in you and that's it. No, He's working in you. As a matter of fact, God uses every available circumstance and everything happening in your life to speak to you. For it is God which worketh in you both to will, that's to desire, and to do of His good pleasure. How do we get from where we were to where we are? And how do we continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Some of you have stories to tell about your upbringing, and you think some of it's interesting and some of it's amusing. But in all of it, you should see the Lord's hand. Amen. What is God doing? The Apostle Paul, we've been looking at his life through what he penned to Timothy in his first and second epistles to Timothy. When he finally gets to the end, he says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And he goes on to talk about meeting the Lord. He's at the end. But how's he move from beginning to end? Let me have you hold your place here just a moment and turn with me just a second back in the Old Testament prophets to the book of Jeremiah. I want you to see this. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning with verse 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Can you imagine? You say, I give my birth date, and my birth date happens to be the day I arrived in America or whatever country. But God knew you long before that. Before you were ever formed in your mother's womb, God knew you. He not only knew you, he knew all about you from beginning to end. He says he loves us with an everlasting love. That means he never started loving us and he never stops loving us. His eyes are on us. God has a perfect plan for your life. He's working in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. Now think about it. I can tell you just a little bit about the Apostle Paul. I think about Paul. The Bible says Paul of Tarsus. He was born in Tarsus. Tarsus is an unusual place. It was one of the three educational centers of that ancient world. Athens, Greece was a second, and Alexandria, Egypt was a third. And it just happened that Paul was born in Tarsus. Evidently, his father had immigrated there. Father was a Jew, and Paul speaks of himself not only as a Jew, but a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And in every Hebrew home, the father of every son chose something for their children to do as a vocation. Maybe you would think of it as a habit, but it was more than a habit. We know from Paul's testimony in life that he was trained, and this is from boyhood, he was trained as a tent maker. That's really the bottom rung, the open door into some profession. The idea that is every Jewish boy could support himself, could stand on his own two feet, so to speak, and earn a living. Early on, evidently, it was decided that Paul would study the rabbinical school and go to be a rabbi. That meant he traveled to Jerusalem where that training would take place. The chronological time frame for the Apostle Paul sort of fits uniquely into the same time frame as the Lord Jesus Christ at his birth. Now think about that. Paul studying, maybe 13 years old, studying to be a rabbi in Jerusalem. About the same time the Lord Jesus would have gone to the temple as a 12-year-old. Think of that. I'm not trying to say to you that their paths crossed or they knew one another, but just to give you some historical framework in this man's life. So he finished that training. Evidently, he was gone from Jerusalem for a while, but then was back there. And I want you to take a look at when he was back there. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Acts just for a second. The Bible says in Acts chapter 7, when Christianity was on the rise, the heated part of early evangelism, maybe no more than maybe 3 years after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, the disciples of our Lord were carrying forth the gospel, and it caused trouble, so much trouble that one of the early deacons was stoned and left for dead. I want you to look at what the Bible says in Acts chapter 7 and verse 54. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. And he, being full of the Holy Ghost, that is Stephen, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. Now read carefully what I'm about to read. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. That's the man we know later as the Apostle Paul. Perhaps that's how he got his charge to be a member of the Sanhedrin, the special group that's set in judgment for the rest of Judaism. I don't know. But he was prominent enough that he was there. He was an eyewitness to the stoning of the Apostle Paul. He's referred to as a young man. Someone suggests that somewhere in the 20s or 30s, he had to be at least 30 years old to be a member of the Sanhedrin. Maybe he's a 30-year-old man. But I want you to hold your place there and turn with me to the little book of Philemon. You have your Bible open there. You know the story, I hope. When Philemon, this runaway slave, ran to Rome, and as a prisoner, he met the Apostle Paul, and Paul led him to Christ. And here Paul writes of himself in this one chapter in the book of Philemon. The Word of God says, if we'll begin reading with verse 8, "Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoy thee, to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged." He is specifically called a young man in Jerusalem at the stoning of Stephen. By the way, that's something that never left the heart and mind of Paul. That Stephen had been stoned to death, and Paul participated there. As a matter of fact, he held the clothes of those men who stoned him. And here, years and years later, he calls himself Paul the Aged. Now, here's the question I want to ask you. What happened to Paul from the young man Paul to the aged apostle, Paul the Aged? What did God do in his life? How did God work in his life? Did Jesus say this? "Follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. I'll transform your life." Did the Lord Jesus say that? Yes, he did. And I think about my own life. You say, how did you get to where you are? We're about to entertain another group of young people who are going to be trained to do something for the Lord. But your life is like their lives. Don't stand back and look on thinking you're different from them, because you're not. God has been working in your life before you were ever born. He knew to whom you'd be born. He knew all the circumstances of your life concerning your birth. You think, well, I didn't come to know the Lord till... Wait a minute. It's not whether you came to know the Lord. That's important. That's essential. You don't get to heaven without that. But it's not about you coming to know the Lord. It's about God knowing you. And he's always known you've existed. And he's always had a purpose for your life. And he's always been working on you. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God's intent. Do you ever think about God's intent? Not your intent, but God's intent. Not what you intend to do, but what God intends to do with you. That's the amazing thing. God intended for me to be a preacher of the gospel. God knew I'd be born to Preston Sexton and Ruby Lee Stanley Sexton. He knew the circumstances of Preston Sexton's life, that his parents were gone, that he depended on his great aunts for a home, and they were devout Christians who loved talking about Jesus. And the home they formed was a home where anybody who was ever in it for any time or a long time heard about the Lord Jesus. And my fondest memories and best memories of childhood are the memories of those two great aunts who were both devout Sunday school teachers telling me about the Lord, talking to me about God, praying with me and praying for me. Could you dare stand up and say, God wasn't in that? No. No. I'm trying to get you to get hold of the fact that God got a hold and got interest in you before you were ever born. And from everlasting to everlasting, He is God. And He loves you with an everlasting love. And He has a plan for your life. Somewhere along the line, you discovered that the Lord was interested in you and He had something for you. You may think that you captured the idea to make a living or do something special, and now all the while God has been working in your heart and you think, I've decided I'm going to give God something. No, 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 wait a minute. That was always God's intent. And He gave you the mind and the heart and the soul and the body to be able to do that so you could give it to the Lord. I say we need to discover lots of things, but we need to rediscover God's hand in our lives. You may think of many things as accidental things. I imagine when Paul looked over his life, he thought about where he was born and why he was located there. He thought about all the things he saw in the commerce and exchange of people and ideas in Tarsus where he was a boy. He thought about the decision that was made when he was sent to Jerusalem to study to be a rabbi. And he thought about the heated arguments that were building between this new faith that seemed to be a rival to Judaism. And it boiled over in such a heated part that they were actually stoning, putting to death, punishing people for following Christ. And God put Paul right in the heart of that to experience that, because he had a work to do in him and through him. Amen. Now here we are in the Lord's work. Here we are in the church that God's established. And I want you to see the big picture. I want you to see that God is after you. And there are all kinds of things that we might classify as unconscious preparation. Those are not things you chose, some things you later discovered. And then there's conscious preparation. You may have chosen a career, a school, an education, and you did that on your own. You thought it was a good pursuit. But God has intervened in your life and brought you to the point where now you see, I can even use that for the Lord. God's in all of it. God was in where Paul grew up as a boy. God was in what he experienced as a young man. God's in all of it, because God is always working, because he starts with every human being that he loves. There's never been a person born on this earth that God doesn't love and have a great godly intent for. Amen. Never. When the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth and became a man without ceasing to be God, he came for you. He died for you. You're precious and important, personal to him. Amen. You say, I didn't know that until I got to a certain age. But God knew all along what his intent for you was. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. That's the point I'm trying to make. May God guide us and help us. Now, I'd like to talk to you about some of the deliberate things God does, but I'll save it to another time. But I want you to know the Lord is after you right now. Amen. And when you look like you ought to look and see like you ought to see, you're going to see the amazing love of God and God's good hand your life from the very outset of all of it. God was at work. At work in your grandparents, your parents, your upbringing, all of it. And the Lord loves you and has a purpose for your life. Let's bow and pray together, may we? The people listening to me this day who need to realize, maybe for the first time, that God has a target on you. He's after you. He wants you for his very own. He wants you to come to know him, to love him, to worship him. And because of your love for him, to bring other people to him. You're going to find your most purposeful, fulfilled part of life by discovering that. Into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. Into my heart. That's what he wants. That's his desire. He wants you to come to know him, to trust him, to believe him. Some of you have never come to the Lord, but he's after you. He's knocking on your heart. He's drawing you to himself. I said years ago something I heard from one of my spiritual fathers. God is always previous. He initiates the work. He's after you. Trust him. Believe him. Receive him. Recognize this unconscious preparation that God's had in your life. And then the conscious preparation you'll see. And the harmony of it with what God intended always. May God bless you and help you. May God bless you and help you.